the children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Welcome to Children's Bible Journey, with stories and songs just for kids. We have a dramatized Bible story coming up, but let's get today's program started by singing praises to our awesome God.
Jesus was a little boy, he had to grow and learn just like you. He probably knew what it was like to have a skinned knee or the hiccups. The Bible says as he grew older, he also grew taller and wiser. People thought that he was a good boy, and so did God, his father.
Luke 2, verse 52. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men.
And Jesus grew.
And Jesus grew.
In wisdom.
In wisdom.
And Jesus grew.
And Jesus grew.
In stature.
In stature.
And Jesus grew.
And Jesus grew.
In favor.
In favor.
With God.
With God.
And men.
And men.
And Jesus grew.
And Jesus grew.
In wisdom.
In wisdom.
And Jesus grew.
And Jesus grew.
In stature.
In stature.
And Jesus grew.
And Jesus grew.
In favor.
In favor.
With God.
With God.
And men.
And men.
With God.
With God.
And men.
And men.
I just love singing praises to Jesus. We'll do some more singing in a few minutes. Now let's get back to our continuing Bible story from the Bible in Living Sound.
I find in him no fault at all.
He is guilty. You yourself heard him say that he is king.
We shall report you to the Roman authorities.
Caesar will denounce you.
If you release the prisoner, we will tear you to pieces.
He set himself up as better than Caesar.
Your Honor, this man's bad influence is well known throughout the country. He teaches disobedience to Caesar all the way from his own Galilee, even to Jerusalem.
Scribe, dare I release this man? He certainly is not guilty.
It would cause a riot, Your Honor, and you can ill afford the animosity of the people right at this time.
What can I do?
The man is from Galilee. Is not Herod magistrate there?
Yes. Yes, so he is. I'll send the prisoner to him.
Caesar! My dear, do you know who is coming to my court for trial?
You tell me.
It's someone I've wanted to see for a long time. I've heard many things about him. He even performs miracles. Perhaps we'll perform one for me.
Oh, Jesus.
That's right. Oh, he's being brought here from Pilate's court by the rulers and priests of Israel on some charge or other.
You no longer think that Jesus is John the Baptist, risen from the dead?
No.
The horrible sight of his head on a platter no longer bothers you.
Yes, but don't you see? This is an opportunity to erase that from my memory. If I deliver Jesus from a death sentence, save his life, I will forget about that horrible sight. Bring in the prisoner. Quiet! So this is he. You have him in chains. Remove them. Ye who accuse this man have no lawful right to roughly treat him. And ye have... that is evident. This man, he is no criminal. In his serene face and bearing, I see only wisdom and purity.
His Majesty has no right, no legal right, to judge the prisoner before he's heard the evidence. And
I'm king, I'll do as I please, and I ordered quietness, and quietness I shall get, understand? Now, then as to you, rumors are many that you can perform miracles, heal the sick and lame, even raise the dead to life again. Are these things true? I have it upon reliable authority that with just a word you can stop storms, quiet angry waves, feed multitudes. Nature obeys your commands. Is this true? Guard, go outside and bring hither anyone who is ill or decrepit or maimed or anything wrong with them. See these folk? Something is wrong with each of them. Prove your power by healing one of them. Anyone! I'm anxious to see if the rumors about you are true or false. If you can work miracles for others, do one now. For your own good. I will let you go free. Show us a sign that thou hast the power with which rumor hath accredited thee. I promise you, perform some miracle in my presence, and you shall be released. But think it over. I'll wait.
Annas, what will we do if he does demonstrate his power?
Our plans will have been for naught, and probably will cost us our lives.
But how can we stop him?
I suggest raising such a loud and furious complaint against Jesus that King Herod will automatically render judgment in our favor.
Good. Yes.
He is guilty! He cannot return!
The prisoner realizes, of course, that I have the power either to release or condemn him, don't you? If you do not answer me, I shall condemn you to death. You anger me, ignoring me. I will condemn you to death if you do not answer me. Will you work a miracle for me? I denounce this man as an impostor. If you will give no evidence of your claim as the Messiah, I will let the soldiers and the people have you. They may succeed in making you speak. If you are an impostor, death at their hands is what you merit. If you are the Son of God, save yourself by working a miracle. Guard, stop them before they tear the prisoner apart.
Scribe,
step into the cloakroom and bring hither my discarded royal garments.
Yes, Your Majesty.
Good people of Israel, you accuse this man of claiming to be king of Israel. You have in no wise proved your accusations. Therefore, in justice, I must decree that he be taken back to the Roman Hall of Justice. Let Pilate judge him. However, in deference to his refusal to answer the charge, I have sent for royal garments. Ye shall clothe the prisoner with them. Do with him as pleases you. Just take him back to Pilate.
We'll continue the Bible story tomorrow, and if you would like to have these stories to listen to at home, you can call the Bible and Living Sound at 1-800-634-0234. That's 1-800-634-0234. Now here's some more music before we have to say goodbye.
Pretend now. Let's pretend we're quiet animals. We can tiptoe around in a circle.
What do you see?
Well, I see trees, grass, cars, buildings, and some kind of bird.
Do you know that there are things out there that are so small that you can only see them with a microscope, and they can kill you?
Are you trying to cheer me up?
They're called germs, and there are 100 million of them right out there just waiting to make you sick.
I'm already sick. That's why you came to visit me.
I was reading in a book that there is something we can do to fight those germs, and I'm not talking about medicine or getting a shot. Do you know what that is?
Close the window?
We can be happy.
Happy? You mean as in ha-ha happy?
That's right. When we have a positive attitude and we aren't grouchy or angry all the time, we help our bodies fight germs because our immune system is working harder than when we're sad or depressed. So are you happy, Sam?
I was until you started talking about germs.
King Solomon said that happiness can fight disease.
Solomon? The Bible guy?
Yes. I learned a Bible verse last year that says, "A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones." That's Proverbs 17:22. What do you think about that?
I think I need to lie down again. I feel my bones drying up.
Well, you just go to sleep and I'll come back and visit you later. Sam, I've got to make you happy so you can heal faster.
You're a true friend, Rico. Like the Bible says, he who lets a sick friend sleep makes his bones better.
Where's that found?
Psalm 5:2.
I thought so.
God has given us everything we need to be healthy inside and out. During Creation Week, he established a health plan for every creature on earth. To learn more about healthy living and about the God who created us all, go to kidsbibleinfo.com. That's kidsbibleinfo.com. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
Boys and girls, this is Ms. Kathy. I'm so happy you've joined me today for another story just for you. Today's story is Chapter 3, The Mysterious Treasure Map. Come on in, kids. Everybody else is already here, Mrs. Shue called from her door. Chris, Maria, and Ryan dashed in out of the rain. Hey, guys, Willie shouted. Stop dripping and come get some popcorn. Before Chris even got to finish his first bowl of popcorn, the others got impatient. I want to see the treasure map, Dee Dee said, leaning over Chris's drink. It's not a treasure map. It's a newspaper clipping, Chris said between crunches. Yeah, dummy, Ryan said. Girls can be so dumb. Chris turned to Ryan. Leave her alone, Ryan. Ryan gave Chris a surprised look, then went and sat down on the couch by himself. Chris looked at Ryan, then at Dee Dee. Sorry, he said quietly. Dee Dee shrugged. Let's see the newspaper article. Chris pulled out his book and removed the newspaper clipping. He unfolded it and laid it out on the table. First of all, this clipping is from May 12, 1887. Chris looked up at Ryan. That's 2 years before the date in this book. Chris began to read. Three armed desperados held up the weekly westbound train from Beetletown to Chuckle Creek yesterday, just outside Mill Valley. Beetletown? Chuckle Creek? What strange names, Willie said, interrupting. Many towns changed their names over the years, explained Mrs. Shue, and many of the towns west of here died out when people no longer could find gold in the mountains. There were hundreds of little towns out there in the hills that are gone now. Ghost towns, Sammy said. Chris continued. The robbers waited at Snake Creek Pass outside of town. A tree trunk laid across the tracks stopped the train there. While train officials worked to remove the tree, the three robbers entered the baggage car. Holding a train porter at gunpoint, the three left with bags containing more than $3,000 in cash and a shipment of personal mail for the people of Mill Valley. When the track was cleared, the train continued its trip into Mill Valley. It was there that the conductor discovered the porter tied up in the baggage car. Awesome, Sammy said. Bam, bam, he mimicked a cowboy with a gun. No, Sammy, Maria stated. No one was shooting. This was a peaceful robbery. Sure, at gunpoint, said Willie. There's more, said Chris, continuing the reading. The porter was able to identify two of the bandits as Ace Wilder, local ruffian, and ne'er-do-well of Mill Valley, and his brother, Tiny. Tiny? Ryan asked, who had again joined the group. What kind of name is that for a train robber? Mrs. Shue, what's a ne'er-do-well? Chris asked. It's an old word for people who are always getting into trouble, Mrs. Shue said. The two brothers were cornered in their cabin outside of town, Chris read. During a fierce gun battle, their cabin caught on fire. The two brothers refused to leave the burning building and died in the flames. Wow, Willie said. Well, so much for the stolen money, Maria said. It must have burned up. Not necessarily, Chris said. Let me read the rest of this. The third member of the train robbery gang was not identified and has not yet been discovered. Sheriff Potts and the train company detectives believe it was someone living in Mill Valley just as the Wilder brothers did. Neither the cash nor the mail have been recovered. Train officials believe it is hidden somewhere near Mill Valley. Chris looked up from the news clipping and folded it up again. So do we have a buried treasure in Mill Valley? Maria shook her head. I don't know. It's been a long time. Somebody's probably dug it up years ago. Or maybe not, Sammy said. Mrs. Shue, you know a lot about Mill Valley history, Chris said. Have you ever heard of someone digging up buried treasure around here? Mrs. Shue shook her head. Never, but you've got another problem. In the 1800s, Mill Valley had just a few hundred people living here. Now it has thousands and thousands. Places that were out of town back then are surrounded by buildings now. And remember, geography changes in 100 years. Geography, said Chris. What do you mean? You know, geography, brother, Maria said. Lakes, rivers, mountains. Chris pushed Maria away. I know what geography is. I just don't understand how it can change. Mrs. Shue walked over and sat on the edge of the couch. Well, in the past 100 years, Mill Valley has had earthquakes, floods, and landslides. All those things can change the way rivers flow and the shape of hills and mountains. And then there are all the new houses and buildings. I think we're forgetting something, guys, Jenny said. We don't know where to look. We need some sort of treasure map or something. Well, let's look at what we have first, Chris said. Then we can worry about things we don't have, like a map. Chris was getting a strange feeling inside, an exciting feeling. Well, we've got the details of the robbery here, Maria said. What about the name in front of the book, Chris? Ryan asked. Chris opened it to the front cover. T. Elliot. The date is 1889. Mrs. Shue suddenly stood up. Let me see something, she said more to herself than to the kids. She walked out of the room. A moment later, she returned with a book. She flipped through the pages to the back of the book. As I said, there weren't a lot of people living here in Mill Valley in those days. The town historian did a good job of keeping track of almost everyone. This book on Mill Valley has an index that lists the names of most of the pioneers who lived here. Elliot. Elliot. Here's a Tom Elliot listed right here. Let's see page 29. She flipped the pages. Tom Elliot, son of Angus Elliot of St. Louis, died February 2, 1891, of the flu at age 24. She read to herself for a moment, then added, "It says he was employed by the railroad as a baggage clerk." "Baggage clerk?" Ryan asked. "Could he be the clerk who was at the robbery?" "Or maybe he knew the other clerk who decided not to identify him to the sheriff," added Chris. "In any case, it looks like he was involved," said Mrs. Shu. "Now what?" Maria asked. "Now we need a map," Jenny said. "But we don't have a map," Ryan said. "Wait a minute, guys," Chris said. "Maybe we do." "What are you talking about, Chris?" Maria asked. "Well, there are lots of ifs in this, but listen," he said. "If the two Wilder brothers didn't have the treasure with them, and if this Tom Elliot was involved with the robbery, he might have wanted to wait a while before he spent the money. That way, people wouldn't know he was involved. And if he didn't dig it up and spend it, then he had to have some way of remembering where it was. Which means he had to have a map," Jenny said. "But where?" Willie asked, then added almost as fast, "In the book!" Chris nodded as he opened the book to the back cover. The paper covering the inside of the back cover was loose. "I think the news clipping was in here," Chris said. He turned to the front cover. "So I think the map might be right in here." He peeled back the thin paper inside of the front cover. Maria gasped as she looked over Chris's shoulder. Beneath the paper, she saw a drawing that looked like a map.
The story you have heard today is a chapter of The Shoebox Kids, Book 1, The Mysterious Treasure Map. It was written by Jerry D. Thomas and used with permission from the Pacific Press Publishing Association. If you're interested in any other books published by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, please visit AdventistBookCenter.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
This podcast is a production of the Carolina Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. In them the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come, please let the children come.
Children's Bible Journey was brought to you by 3ABN Australia Radio and is a production of Life Talk Radio at lifetalk.net.